This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Lucy Porter, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Woo and who, it is Lucy Porter live at the Fringe. Very excited. I'm on my last day at the Edinburgh Festival for this year, but I'll be back next year, so it's fine. I'm not getting too downhearted. And it's a beautiful sunny day. We've got an enormous studio audience in here. Give us a cheer, guys. Hi, woo! Pumped is the way I would describe these guys. Absolutely pumped. I think it's brilliant. We are in the... what I love about this venue is that it's discreet. It's very discreet. It's not shouting about its existence at all. It's tucked itself away behind the bins. So brilliant. Right, now we've got loads of amazing guests today, all wonderful. So I'm going to crack straight on with the first one. Ladies and gentlemen, please will you welcome to the stage Mr. Mike Wozniak. Hello, lovely Mike Wozniak. Come and have a seat. It's I was looking forward to you coming on for a number of reasons, but chief amongst them was that I just wanted some of your honeyed voice in my little ears.
Very pleasing. Thank you.
I love it. I'm too excited.
I'm trying to honey it up.
You don't even have to try, darling. It's a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
How is your festival? How's your show?
I'm having a lovely time. Thanks.
We were just saying, before we came on air, we were saying everybody seems to be remarkably positive and upbeat.
Yeah, people are coming to shows. No, I haven't come across anyone who's sort of really losing their marbles yet. Normally someone is at this point.
I mean, I'm happy to oblige.
Yeah?
Okay. Since I'm going
you're
home
on the cusp.
Tomorrow.
You're on the turning point.
I'll have some sort of meltdown this afternoon for you. I'll come
go
and
out
find
big.
You. And it's been amazing. The weather's been nice, which always helps.
Yeah, everyone's in a good mood.
Yeah, it's been great.
So lots of bums on seats, all that sort of thing.
I know. Well, everything I've been to has been sold out.
Yeah,
and I think that partly it's the crowd following me. Obviously,
of course,
they want to be where Porter's at. It's been fantastic. And you're a little lunchtime treat, aren't you? Because you're going to have to go shortly.
I'm doing a sort of 1:15 lunchtime thing, which I like. You know, done early, home for neighbours. It's all that sort of thing.
Both showings in the old days, you could
exactly,
know, actually. No, just
exactly.
Thought, that is a boon, isn't it? I did that last year. I was 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you get so much daytime.
People come. Normal people come.
Yeah.
Comedians that promise that they'll come to a show, they don't come.
No.
They mean it, I think, the night before when you see them, that they'll come. And then they're just,
Yeah.
I mean, they're not awake, are they?
And you wouldn't want them in an audience because they'd be in no fit state and they would scare the other thing
exactly.
on tour, wouldn't they? I mean, obviously you're up here with your kids.
Yeah.
So you're having the kind of festival I've had for the last few years.
It's all
which
very
is
sober and
wholesome.
Seeing children's shows and all that kind of thing.
You want to give yourself a year where you just come up for a couple of days without children.
Oh, really?
God, it's like the old days.
Yeah,
it's
like straight back into the old
vice-laden.
Because
I'd promised to meet Sarah Kendall and her children this morning, and I did it last night in that sort of drunken texting way, going, it'd be fine. what do I want more than to see two toddlers at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? It's going to be amazing. I saw it through.
It's good if you're doing a run, it's quite helpful because if you have a bit of a shonky show or a bit of an eggy review or something, you don't, they couldn't give a flying shit when you get, you can't do any of these in-depth post-mortems or woe is me. You can't go into some sort of, self-pity
pit. No, exactly, no.
You just have to sort of, draw a frog or something.
Yes. You draw a picture of a critic being stabbed in the head or something.
Yeah,
and
then
they can
colour it in.
Yes. It's so nice that there's so much to do during the day as well, because I think that was something that when I first started coming up with the kids 4 years ago, it was a bit, it was just kids shows,
right.
Which is great when you have kids, obviously. But now, as a grown-up who still gets up at 7:30 in the morning, you can actually find
grown-ups
stuff
are doing shows as well. Bridget is always doing an early show.
Yeah, she was
people.
The pioneer.
She was,
of the early morning comedy.
She pushes it though. She's often like sort of 11 o'clock, and I don't know what time she's doing this year, but in the past it's been.
She's gone earlier. She's gone.
Has she really?
She's ratcheted it back to 10 now, I think.
Oh my god.
She's going around to doing a midnight show. She's just going to
sort of filtering out. Right, she's going to go full circle.
So can I? I'm excited about the premise of your show, and it sounds like amazing story. Is there a sort of précis of it that you can do without giving anything away?
It's tricky without giving too much away. It's a tale from the road, and spend a lot of time on my own on the road, the deal. And it's a story that starts last time I was up at Edinburgh, which was the year before last, and I drove back with lots of stuff, and I had an unexpected stowaway in the car, and the hour is me trying to sort of relate the tale of me trying to deal with that. But there's lots of kind of digressions and little, you know, flights of fancy along the way.
I
all that
would
sort
expect
of thing.
Nothing less than a flight of fancy.
Yeah, indeed.
I should.
Yeah.
I'll tell the audience the show, which is on at 1:15, is called One Man Dad Cat Band.
Yeah, dreadful title, as it turns out. I was very happy with it when I wrote it down. And I thought, yes, that works and that makes sense for the show and I like it. And then every time I've told someone what it is out loud, yeah, it's called One Man Dad Cat Band. They're like, one man dead? What? Hang on, it's one dad yeah. in a... What are you...
You've invented a tongue twister, which is a wonderful
exactly.
thing. It's always good to have an alternative really. To Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry to do a vocal warm-up.
Exactly, very important for every show.
And I normally like your... I haven't actually seen your poster yet. Can I have a look? Do you know... You don't
it's
know
simpler
what
this year.
You're on.
It's mostly just my face. In the past, I've normally done a thing with Idle Tsukan.
Yes.
Who's sort of, you know, photography supremo.
Yes, yes.
And she did take the photograph of this, but I'm up with the Invisible Dot this year, which I've not done, and they are
a brilliant promotion.
Yeah, and it's nicely designed, but they want us to look a bit more like a sort of team. So there's sort of a kind of all the Invisible Dot posters. There's a little bit of
house style.
Yeah, because there's a house style, which is, you know, sort of odd in a way.
Who
because
else
we're
is
all
in
quite
the
different.
House?
Joseph Moore Pergo, who's sort of Captain Buzz. He's got a wonderful show up this
Captain
year.
Captain Buzz, I like that very much. Yes, he is having...
Beard, who I would recommend. Very strange, sort of surreal double act. Mm-hmm. Love their stuff. And, loads of people. Mae Martin.
Oh, she's great. Canadian, amazing Mae Martin. Yeah. She's wonderful. I've just seen Carl Donnelly's not part of that team, is he?
He's not, no.
But he's gone for a very understated... look in
I like
poster.
It though yeah I mean if you can't see which you can't
no,
because
nobody
this is a radio
can.
Show
even the audience in the studio can't see it
earnest.
I'm going to talk about it in depth without explaining
it's black and white him a kind of sort of black polo neck looking very earnest. I think it's a great poster.
And then the
Jive
title
Ass
of the show
Honky.
Is Jive Ass Honky.
He has been I mean it has drawn quite a lot of kind of graffiti fire his poster around because he's
it?
Got some big posters around the place and mm-hmm. someone has been putting in the line of Bart Simpson around his face. And to be fair to them, it's not much of a leap.
Just yeah, you can see that. Oh, actually, I folded it over.
You know, Google it, print it out. You know, do that yourself maybe if you've got a free afternoon. Do some Bart Simpsons.
Well, for the kids, it's a nice do-it-yourself Bart Simpson colouring page.
Yeah.
So it's lovely. That's right. I know that you can. That's something you always have to think about with poster design, isn't it? Is not making yourself a target of the. I had one once where I did have a cleavage.
I remember it vividly.
And
I have it at home.
Well, a number of things were stuffed down that cleavage that year. My poster was quite heavy.
Was it a 3D poster?
It was. It was amazing what people managed to do. The level of creativity that's in this town at this time of year is quite extraordinary. I didn't manage to find your poster, but because I like the one where you were. It was like a record cover. It was this easy listening 70s groove style.
Yeah, with some sort of spangles and sequins and dicky bows, all that sort of thing.
Yes.
That was it all. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, there's not many about. I haven't got lots of posters. I mean, that's sort of free print. I haven't got, there's nothing is
you're
on the side
French.
Of a bus. I am, which I've never done before.
How are you finding that?
It's been great. I mean, the doing the kind of bucket bit at the end is completely grim because you've just done the show and hopefully you've had a nice time and you just want them to leave you and wish you well, and then there you are at the exit with a bucket asking for cash, and it's a bit of a low point.
Do you have a bucket speech? Because I
know
a lot of people
speech.
Have worked on it. What's your angle with the bucket speech?
My angle is to entirely blame it on Stuart Goldsmith, who is, you know him,
fellow
stand up and
Stuart Goldsmith,
former
yes.
street performer. So he takes his bucket speech very, very seriously, and he's sat quite a few of us down and given us a bollocking, tell us to do it properly, look him in the eye, and demand money for your professional entertainment.
Yes.
So I'm too ashamed to do that. So I just blame it on him at the end instead. And
this is the speech I should be giving, but I can't actually bring myself to that kind of
exactly
thing.
And it's a strange experience. I get mostly coins. I'm not going to break even on this venture. And I've learned that if they're going to give you coins when they come out, when they put it in the bucket, they give you perfect eye contact and they fix it and they keep it there all the way till they're done out the door. Where if it's a note, they'll get your eyes and then their eyes will go down to the note and say, yes, this was me. The note today is from me.
It's difficult as an audience member in a free fringe show. Can I tell you from the flip side? Of
things?
So you do, you leave the show and then you're looking and you're kind of getting the nightmare scenario is where you've rushed to get to the show and you've forgotten to sort of get any change, yep, or like you've just been
to the
cash point.
Oh, there's always a couple of scrabblers going through bags, scrabbling away, yeah, in a panic. Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, there's. Do you ever get anyone who doesn't pay?
Yeah, I mean, the first show I did, the first five people just sort of marched past, heads bowed, nothing at all. And I thought, oh, my God.
Yeah. I think a lot of people take free fringe to literally.
I didn't mind if someone skint. That's fine. And you can tell the panic in the eyes. It reads very clearly. I don't mind the panickers. Yes. I've been a panicker, I think, before.
Yeah.
I know panickers who haven't got any. I mean, that's fine. I don't mind that. Someone did panicked and left me dos pesos the other day. Which wasn't helpful. Unless there's a clue, unless it's a sort of, I don't know, some adventure is about to begin, or I mean, I've kept it, of course, just in case.
Some doubloons suddenly appear in your bucket. I have given notes sometimes inadvertently because I've wanted to give something and I've only had a note, but then it's made me feel slightly bitter towards that show. Even if I've really enjoyed it, I've been a bit like, oh God, but then I had to give them a tenner.
Oh man, I hope I'm not getting bitterness. I mean, people can hear the rattling of change as they're queuing to get out, so I think like they feel it's okay to give change. Yeah. I mean, if there's a baby boomer coming past, I mean, I give them a proper look like, come on, you can cough up.
You've got a house, all, you guys. Probably mortgage exactly. free. Yeah. I'm going to introduce our second guest now, who is the wonderful. She's been on our radio show down in London. So, it's Steve. I was introducing a different guest. Shall I just do the same introduction, Stephen, and then you can come on? She's a wonderful, vibrant, sexual woman. Please, will you welcome? It's the gorgeous Stephen Bailey. Do sit there, my darling. How lovely to see you, Stephen.
How are you?
Just thrilled that you're here.
I keep getting confused for being a woman, actually, this fringe. I'm not the first to have done that, yeah.
No, is this related to posters? Are we talking about your poster?
No, like, actually, like, someone that came to see my show at the end, like, he was, like, sat, like, looking at me confused all the way through the show. So at the end, I was like, what the fuck was wrong with your face? And he was like, oh, no, sorry, I thought you were really funny. I just couldn't figure out if you were a boy or a girl. And I was like,
wow.
But this happens, Mike, I was at a urinal in a pub in London, and a man walked in and went, oh, sorry, love, I thought it was the gents, and I had my dick out. I had my penis out.
It's a good job you're a stand-up comedian and not a sort of insecure person with a fragile ego in
my
any way.
My friend says
it?
I look like Lauren Harries.
Oh, that's... No, you don't. I'll explain Lauren Harries. We have... one of our later guests is American, might not know Lauren. Well, in fact, I can't explain Lauren Harries. I was going to say I'll explain Lauren Harries, but...
Unexplainable.
Yeah. No, but you have lovely... I see you have lovely eyebrows. You've got an eyebrow
These are like... Well, I mean, I've drew a bit on, but they are naturally curvaceous.
They're gorgeous. They're absolutely... I would kill for those.
What do you think, Michael?
I think they're perfect. They're perfect shape as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And I've never plucked them. Like eyes that are like the ocean?
I mean, you just took the words out of my mouth.
A steely Baltic sea. That's what
is that
I would
compliment?
Say.
I was going to go for Arctic, but yeah, it's definitely one of the cold ones.
Cold.
Well, just because
there's a lot of love in my eyes.
I know, but there's a kind of Arctic sun. There's a sheen from there, a pure sort of snowy, icy sheen.
I mean, as long as there's some sort of sunshine in there, I'll take
that
it.
That comes from the rest of the face.
Yeah.
That is a hell lot of makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, a degree of androgyny, I think, is a very desirable thing.
Do you think?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We want to be. I mean, I like to feel I have a certain boyish charm.
You do, Luz.
It's all the rage. What's the that nice young pop star? Ezra something.
Hello? George Ezra.
George Ezra.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you know who I think has gone really sexual for a pop star?
Go
is
on.
Sam Smith.
All right.
Like, I think he's so handsome, and then he can sing, and I'd like to date him.
There we go.
I'm saying it right here first on Fubar. Michael, I would like you, but I did spot a wedding ring.
Yeah.
You're just ruining dreams all round the fringe,
well,
aren't you?
That's what I do. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. I want him
you
for his voice.
Crusher.
You want him for
crushing dreams
know.
And breaking hearts.
There's two broken hearts on this stage right now.
two broken hearts.
You did show us before the recording, Stephen.
Oh, my sexy.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about what happened to you last night.
Uh-oh. So I met a sexy German called Jacob with a K. Mm-hmm. The K is instead of the C, not instead of the J. Let's just get that clear. And he was so handsome. I was doing this gig called Hate and Live, and I had to be very hateful, which, you know, for me, Mike, is a trouble. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's very difficult. I like everything and everyone. And so I was doing that, and then I spotted them, and I kept doing rude gestures to them during the show from the stage, maybe a little blowjob action and maybe a little hand job. And then afterwards they bought me a gin and tonic, and you know what happens after that, Lucy, where anyone's. And then I took them to Brooks Bar, and I just literally sat and let them speak to me in German all evening. They could speak English, but I preferred it in German. And I don't know what they said, and so I recorded a video of them where they allegedly was saying how amazing my show was, and then I sent it my German teacher just to get clarification.
Your poor German teacher.
Yeah, she messaged me. She was like, well, that's interesting. They said penis twice. And I was like, perfect. They actually taught me how to say, I said to them, I was like, I want to offer you a blowjob. How do I offer you that in German?
Was this on stage or just in
No, this was in life.
Okay.
I also said to them, I was like, would it be too forward if I said, should we have a June wedding? And they were really into it. And that was after like half an hour.
Lovely.
I think British men could learn a lot from the Germans,
yeah,
quite frankly.
Just get to it. Just get down to business.
Whenever I go to CC Blooms, I go in there and I go to someone at the bar and I'm like, I'm thinking a June wedding, and they leave.
You want to get yourself over to Dusseldorf for...
I really do.
You remember doing the Dusseldorf Comedy Festival or the Berlin Laughter Fest?
Well, now I know it's a thing, I bloody will. They were the most handsome men I've ever seen. I'll show you all pictures at the end.
They were beautiful.
Weren't they beautiful?
Yeah.
I showed Mike a video earlier.
Well, we've seen a video, but yeah. I'm slightly worried about what other video content might have been
just
taken.
Just keep swiping left. Keep swiping left.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. And you're having a lovely time as well. You are radiant, like Mike, having a brilliant festival, enjoying it.
Yeah, really enjoy it. I don't get people that come to the Fringe and moan. Like, I think you're allowed one breakdown day because you're away from your mum for a month. But and who's to do the, like, you know, who's to feed me?
Indeed.
Because yeah. I can't cook.
No.
I could come round. I do.
There's
feel
no entourage or anything like that.
Not yet, Mike. I keep trying.
Next okay. year, the
not
entourage
all of us are fancy
comes.
Like you.
Nice little German entourage. That's what you need.
I mean, they left today. I don't know what I bloody did to them.
There'll be more.
There'll be more.
There's always
spread
Germans.
The word.
Of course.
The German network will get to it. But yeah, I could come round. I did this last year because I was having a family festival, and I was feeding. It was like a soup kitchen, our flat, where I would get young performers and say, come for vitamins and
yes,
vegetables.
Please.
And
I have not had a vitamin in about... When did I last see my mum? I saw my mum in the middle of July, and I think that was the last time I had a vegetable. And I didn't enjoy it, but you've got to do some things, haven't you, for your heart, apparently. That was the last time I had... Although my friend Joe, he's a funny comedian, Joe Sutherland, he eats very healthy. We're complete opposites. Like, I have Maltese and Coca-Cola for breakfast.
I saw it happen.
And he has, like, eggs and, like, gluten-free with a little spinach. So sometimes I just impose on him. And he feeds me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite nice, actually, for me to meet a young comedian who isn't living, you know, healthy. And
everyone drinks green tea now.
I know. It disgusts me. Now, listen, we've got to let Mike go because you've actually got to go and do your show.
I've got to do some show business.
Is that because I flirted too much?
I know. I mean, it's made me feel good. Don't get me wrong. It's filled me up. It's given me a little
have a great
boost.
Show today. I'm taking credit.
Yeah.
I'll credit
you at the end.
Well, hopefully there will be listeners right now who are tearing across Edinburgh with their earphones in going, right, I'm going to go and catch this show.
Exactly.
So
I'll race you there.
See you see you later.
Great. Thank you
so
much. Enjoy the rest of the show. Sorry to go. Cheerio.
Bye, Mike.
And
I'm not even going to let him go out the door before I replace him. That's so how handsome. Heartless I am. I'm just going to bring... Yeah, he's gone. He's dead to me now.
You left so quick.
Now, I've got to do the introduction that... I think Evelyn was out getting a cup of coffee. I've introduced you once already, Evelyn, because I mistakenly introduced you when I was bringing on Stephen.
She confused
it
me
wasn't
for
your
you,
fault.
Evelyn.
But I was being an idiot. So I'm now going to do... But it's good because I've had a chance to practice.
Yeah.
So I was wittering on before. So all I'm going to say is, please, ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome the glorious Evelyn Mark? Yay! Come and have a seat. Yeah, come and directly replace Mike behind that microphone there. So
hello.
I guess we've been talking about healthy or not healthy and yes. people having green tea. So what's in your Starbucks cup?
Oh, I am not healthy like you, Lucy. Let's say I'm a younger version of you.
Oh, that's good. This is your future. Look at
it's quite lovely. It looks so comfortable. I I went out because I have a little bit of a cough and I didn't want to cough up the show. So I went up and got a little tea with some honey in it.
You are very considerate. Oh, and what time is your show?
My show's at 5 p.m. at the Counting House.
5 p.m. So we've got a few hours to nurture you back to health.
We do.
Like a little bird
do.
With a broken
Hopefully.
Wing.
Yeah.
You get pipettes of milk and just drop them into your mouth. Exactly. And oh, sweetheart. So nice. Is that is this just the mid-festival malaise that everyone gets, the little bit of a cough and a cough?
Yeah, I think so. It's too many late nights. And
hangover.
Not enough consideration.
Hangover.
Yeah, hangover. Emotional hangovers.
The worst kind of hangover. Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of, we're over halfway. Are we over halfway? We are, aren't we?
Yes, thank goodness.
Light in his eyes.
I have booked a train back to my mother's for a week on Monday, and she's going to get a lot of washing and a lot of tears. And I'm going to need a big cuddle. It'd be like the time I was 14 and got drunk on Stella and had to be sick in a bucket while she cuddled me. Just like that.
Oh, yeah.
So glamorous.
I had one of those. I had, drank way too much vodka and went into my mum and dad, like really dramatically. I was about 15 and I went in and I said, Mum, Dad, you're going to have to take me to hospital to get my stomach pumped.
Do you remember when that was like the coolest thing you could do at school? Like, oh, guys, I got my stomach pumped this weekend.
Yeah. Alcohol poisoning is so cool. To?
Council.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's weird. Twin kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Really,
where are you from, Lucy?
Croydon, a delightful little fishing village. Yeah. In It's technically in Surrey. I'm clinging to that. But whereabouts do you hail from?
Denton, Manchester, M34. All we have is a Sainsbury's and a KFC that got reported on the news for bad chicken.
Both of them.
That's true.
A newsworthy KFC.
Yeah. We're responsible for Shane Ward. So I apologise.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, you should.
He used to come to the Windmill pub. I used to oogle him. And then when he got super famous, I still used to oogle him, but in a different way.
Oogling is, it's not a term I'm familiar with. You're the most exotic of all of us, Evelyn.
Oh, yeah. Or it, can you say
more exotic than Croydon and Denton. It wasn't the bar wasn't set terribly high. But yes, you have Scandinavian action going on.
Yes, I do. I'm from Sweden. Mm. The lovely country of Sweden. That brought us IKEA and ABBA and meatballs.
Are you responsible for Dime? Do you know Dime Bar?
Yes.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Wow. Have you had the Dime Bar cake?
Yes, we have it.
They sell it in that shop near your house where you're staying now.
Really?
It's so good. Yeah, we'll go.
Okay, we'll go.
Is that the one? Is that the
Scoops.
Amazing? Oh, right now.
Yeah, you're thinking chocolate,
right.
I think.
I'm thinking if there's one, which is it was near what used to be a Blockbusters that's now Sainsbury's local.
That's it, chocolate.
Is that chocolate?
So good.
Oh, that's my top fringe recommendation, apart from you two, obviously. Yeah. Not Mike Wozniak, he's gone.
Yeah. Screw
chocolate.
Him.
It's got those cakes that they do. They are just
really good.
Million calories, a bajillion calories each. They're just gorgeous.
Have you been there, Evelyn?
Amazing. No, but I will be there.
I'll
so all of you, all of like your top three fringe recommendations will be in one place.
Yeah, that was.
And Lucy is going to make us some vegetables.
What is that?
Yes.
Can you fry that?
There will be. I could do that. Would be a nice halfway house, wouldn't it?
Just
because otherwise you might go into shock. There might be some terrible reaction to a fresh vegetable. I tell you what, I could roast you some kale in a nice bit of olive oil. That would be
deal.
That would do, I think.
Is kale fish?
Kale's like hipster chips.
What?
Yeah, it's a cabbage. Chips. It's a brassica. It's from the brassica family. But
grown-ups eat weird things.
I know, but honestly, when your palate matures, Stephen, when you like olives.
I don't like olives. How did you know?
Yeah, I don't like olives either.
I like everything bad for me, just like my men.
How old are you, Stephen?
I'm 28.
Oh, you've got years of being able to live unhealthily. I love that. You've got, like, I'd say another 12 at least.
Oh, really? This is going to be a great
12
years.
The other day
I had a chicken kebab and I was like, should I feel bad about this? And I was like, I shall not feel bad about this.
It's going to be a lonely 12 years.
How dare you? It's been a lonely 28 so far. They always leave.
I've realised I haven't actually asked either of you about anything about your shows yet.
Oh, that's not important.
I know. Yeah. It's but I really, I'm very excited about both of you in a comedic way as well as a sexual way. And because you're doing your now nearly a pop star.
Should have been a pop star.
Should have been a pop star.
Yeah.
It's good when the host can remember the
You were so close. I had someone the other day say, It's called Stephen Bailey. He wanted to be a pop star but didn't end up being one. And I was like, that is a stupid title. Why would I call it that? So it was not that.
Imagine how much that would cost you in your brochure.
I know.
Basically, you'd have no room to describe your show in the brochure.
You can't, you're not allowed that many words.
No. In fact, it should have been a pop star. That's still quite a long title.
I know. I'm surprised I got away with it.
Revise that for next year.
Yeah. Well, next year's is going to be called Stephen Bailey Nation's Sweetheart. Because clearly by then I'm going to be hosting The X Factor. Thank you.
Well, I thought you meant the German Nation Sweetheart.
Listen, the way those Germans were with me last night, I think I can have anything from that country.
Yeah.
I can count to 10.
Do it.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, neun. Thank you. Zen. Yeah, see, very that was in good. One night of learning, guys.
Round of applause, ladies
thank
and gentlemen.
Thank
round
you. One quick blow job and you can count to 10.
Oh,
I'm joking, I didn't blow them. I'm lactose intolerant.
Is that how long it took?
What?
Was that how long it took?
10 seconds. Yeah, they were excited.
Oh,
I should just say they were heterosexuals and I did not blow them just for the tape. don't need to be in court again, thank you.
I love the fact that you've ramped up the filth quotient of this show.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
No,
I forget
good.
This is a proper show.
No, this is we like filth, don't we, Amanda? The producer
Amanda does.
Is delighted. She loves it.
She's
loves
taking notes.
For blackmailing German Funny. Men later on, I think. But so what is what's the gist of Should Have Been a Pop Star?
So basically, when I grew up, I had a lisp, a stammer, a brace, ginger hair, I was gay, and I grew up on a council estate with no money, so it was quite a nightmare. And so it's just about kind of finding confidence, because I didn't really start being confident until I started stand-up comedy, and now you can't shut me the fuck up.
It's a cure that's worked almost too
really
well,
shy.
Hasn't it?
Yeah, I used to be really shy, and I used to go to speech therapy, and at speech therapy she used to make me sing my stammer away, and so that's why I went with Should Have Been a Pop Star. So it kind of worked, even though one reviewer was like, he doesn't even sing in it, and it's like, excuse me, I do a whole rendition of the Volcano song that I had to sing in speech therapy. Yes, I fucking do.
Yeah. I know. And also, you don't need to sing to be a pop star.
No,
days,
well, like it's like,
no, that's true. Yeah.
Something like, you know, these people that have puns on their name, like Ashlyn B. Plan B. It's not about Plan B, is it?
No, well, that's the way Aha Joe Lycett.
Yeah, that's a good example.
If he did an entire who did that song now?
That's the way
Aha Joe Lycett. I mean, I hope he does come on to that, because that's a nice touch.
He must do.
Because I heard last year he did, he came on to Call Me Crazy.
Oh my God, yes. As an old person, I've heard that annoying song.
Hey,
Carly Rae Jepsen.
I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe.
Should have been a pop star. Totally should have been.
Listen, if Cheryl Cole can be a pop star with that vocal, then I think I can. Thank you very much.
Yes. I'm going to add another guest to the mix now, guys.
No.
It's too exciting. And I'm getting giddy thrills of excitement about introducing our next guest, so I'm just going to do it. Please, will you welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the stage, Stephen Tobolowsky. Please come and find yourself a seat. There we go. Have that one. How delightful to have you here.
It is very delightful to be here.
Genuine American.
Totally.
And one of my life's great heroes. The studio audience will be recognising Stephen from films. Mm-hmm. Ned Ryerson in Groundhog Day, possibly. I mean, actually my favourite film.
Bing.
Of all time. And amazing in loads of things. Sneakers. Also, the voice of the principal in Peabody and Mr. Sherman.
Oh, that was... I'll bring this up because I was so thrilled to be told I was going to be the principal in Peabody and Sherman, and the director called me into the room and said that we have actually based this character, we've drawn it to you. We've made the drawing dedicated to you. And so I walk into the room and there's the script, and there in front of me is the picture of the most horrific looking man I've ever seen. He's bald. He has 20 chins. He has like his shoulders up to his ears, a long pointy nose. And I just go, thanks, guys. Just keep sending those checks.
A compliment on one hand and yet a terrible, terrible blow to your ego on the other. But it is, I mean, I hear your voice about 20 times a day as my children watch that show, basically that film on repeat. And I was talking to you about your Edinburgh show, The Toblowski Files. Mm-hmm. And now you two, Evelyn and Stephen, mm-hmm. You know, you are impressive. But I'm going to take that away
from
you.
Hold on.
Yeah, there's a big but.
I can't argue.
Would I be correct in saying, guys, that you're doing essentially the same show every night? You know, more or less?
Yeah,
I'm sure you're improvising because you're good at that kind of stuff. Stephen here, not doing the same show every night.
No.
Has set himself an incredible task.
That could have been a real error in judgment on my part. No, I decided, because I am a genuine American. And I have so many friends who performed at the Fringe, mm-hmm. and they've loved performing in the Fringe. And so I thought, I have about 71 hours of shows that I've recorded in America for the Toblowski file. So mm-hmm. I thought, why don't I come over and do a different show each night of the week, and then I will repeat those 7 shows for the second week. Mm-hmm. So... I'm going mad. Everyone at the little house I'm staying at is just seeing me, in the garden, like mumbling to myself, like, what show? Today is Thursday. It must be the show about love. Okay. And I'm just mumbling to myself everywhere I go.
Luckily, a lot of people at the Edinburgh Fringe are just mumbling and...
That's right. I fit right in. Yeah, yeah. Fit right in.
Just go down the Royal Mile.
Yeah.
And you'll just be like...
In fact, do you do it at 6 in the morning and then you'll see some very confused people. Is this your first time at the Fringe?
First time at the Fringe.
First time in Edinburgh?
No. As a matter of fact, my wife, that little lady sitting
over
there.
Your lovely wife. Hello,
we came to Edinburgh when we were dating. How long ago? Like 28 years? 1988. This is before some of you were born.
I was like one.
My wife, Anne, she's a... First of all, just an advice to the listening audience. You should never attempt an international trip unless you've already been married. It's too difficult to do almost anything, but traveling internationally when you're just dating is very difficult. My wife, I had no idea, was so frugal. And so for the trip, she had booked us in dog kennels. She had booked us in farms where you had to help work pick the vegetables before you got to sleep. We had one place that had a toilet that in a room that was so small. I'm a large guy, to where I had to have my feet out on the bed if I wanted to go to the toilet. Terrible. So when we got to Edinburgh, I said to her, "Baby, we're splurging." And we went to a place called the Caledonian.
Oh, yes.
Because they had a huge bed and they had a huge bath. And I said, "Baby, I'm getting me some room service." So she goes and gets in the tub and I hear her splashing in there and I'm talking to the guy. And I said, "Well, I think, let's see, what should I get? Oh, well, this sounds interesting. Haggis. That's the national dish." And I hear Anne screaming in the tub, "No, no, no! Don't order haggis. You don't know what it is. Don't order haggis." I said, "Well, baby, it says here it's a national dish. Ask him. Ask the man on the phone what the haggis is." So I said, "Excuse me, sir, how do you prepare your haggis?" He said, "Oh, so we do it in the traditional way with a dram of whiskey." I said, "Baby, they do it traditional way, dram of whiskey." And she said, no, ask him what's in it. And I said, "Oh, so the traditional way you would include, what would that be?" "Oh, lips, liver, tongue, all cooked in a sheep's stomach." And I said, okay, so let's hold the haggis, but do bring that dram of whiskey. So I've been in Edinburgh. I love
Edinburgh.
You've
had the full experience.
It's
of being
a gorgeous city.
It's amazing. I like the fact that your wife, when you were dating, tried to prepare you for the misery and privations of marriage. But it's a good approach. I admire you, Anne. That's very wise. Like there, it's not all going to be fun from now on.
No.
Oh no. And but yeah, because I mean, your podcast is phenomenally successful, and is it so? This is all stuff that you've just accumulated over the years.
Well, what happened was, and I don't think it's too much of a spoiler. I was in an accident in 2008, in which the doctor said I had a fatal injury. which I thought was a terrible misuse of the word fatal. Terrible thing for a doctor to tell you that.
Yes.
But then I went home after being scared, and then after thinking it was amusing, I thought, well, what if what he said was true? What if I would not have had a chance to see my wife or children again? What would I want my children to know about their dad? So I couldn't do much as I was recovering, mm-hmm. and so I began writing these stories that I wanted my children to know about me. Mm-hmm. First time I fell in love, when I was held hostage at gunpoint, when I tried to buy drugs for my band. All sorts of every story I could possibly think of. And right about that time, a young student at Harvard named David Chen called me up on the phone and said, can we record? Because he knew I was a storyteller, and he loved this movie I did, Stephen Tobolowsky's Birthday Party, where it's a storytelling film. And he said, maybe we could record new stories. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I have some new ones. So the stories I'm doing at Edinburgh, is it Brach?
Yeah, very, very well. The natives are all delighted with that.
Yes, in Edinburgh is I'm doing seven stories, and I realized the one thread that holds all these stories together is they're all about imponderable moments in my life, moments that I just have absolutely no idea what happened or why they happened, and they have to do with the moment when I was almost killed, held hostage at gunpoint, thrown out of school, stories of falling in love with my wife. I'm doing those stories tonight. And last night, some odd psychic experiences I had that actually completely changed my life. And I am not one who is a big psychic guy. I'm just had these things happen to me. So all the stories I do in Edinburgh are generally funny. They're all 100% true because my motto, after many years, is true always trumps clever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I hold that one to my heart.
Yeah. Well, I think the lovely thing about this festival is that you do the shows that really win out always are the ones where it's the heart of the show is there, that it really is someone's kind of not necessarily traumatic, it can be quite light, it can be you know quite trivial, but yeah, some sort of emotional resonance with the audience is
we're
key,
performing
isn't it?
I'm speaking in the is that the royal we
the royal
is
we that, it's you're in, allowed
no I'm at the Cabaret Pleasance Bar, which I thought was
that room.
It's wonderful.
I love it
and it's such a perfect room to be in a bar telling these stories.
Yes.
And the only thing that would be, I remember I told one of these stories in Los Angeles in a bar, and the bartender stopped serving drinks, which I thought was the greatest compliment ever. Anyway, I want to hear this. Hold it.
That's
so
lovely.
It's a beautiful, beautiful
venue. You probably won't get that in Scotland. if drinks stop being served, there will be some kind of riot.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, you know, just prepare yourself for that. But it's, it's such a, I love that. I did a show in that room once myself a few years ago, and just absolutely, there's a really nice, intimate, even though it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a good size room, but it feels really intimate as a performer, doesn't it? You do feel like you've got everyone just there.
I don't know when you're, I'm at like 5:20, which is
I'm
kind of an 15, interesting time.
Yeah
it's an interesting time.
When you're
five. So what is your, let me just throw this out. I just need to ask people. What is your experience about performing at around cocktail hour? What is that like?
Mine's wild, actually. Some days they're either one of two. They're either like white, they're drunk, or they're waiting for like the early bird special to start. Like I had some like a coaching from Scunthorpe the other day of like 50, 60 year olds, and they looked at me like they wanted to kill me. But I think they were just waiting for fish and chips deal to start.
We'll
somewhere.
Explain Scunthorpe later on as well. If you didn't make it
by
there
the seaside.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's well, I don't know. I get a lot of kids or younger kids.
Which venue are you
children.
In, Evelyn? Because we haven't.
I'm in the Counting House, so I'm just doing a work in progress.
Uh-huh, lovely.
So they're just coming up to like. Yeah, I think maybe I'm the babysitter.
She looks trustworthy. She looks
Evelyn,
like she's got a nice face.
Do you your vagina jokes?
If I do. If I do.
Well, good, they should learn now.
There's something so interesting about performing at this time, because this is usually when I start getting ready for an evening perform. You know, because in the theater, you start at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is when I start kind of getting into character, getting ready for that kind of thing happening in the show. And you do get an amazing cross-section of people. Like, I think I perform at 5:20. So you get an amazing cross-section of people before they get drunk.
Yeah.
And then you get all the people who got drunk at lunch.
Yes.
So you just have this amazing cross-section. I get young people. I get older people. It's a terrific kind of cross-section.
I had a stag party on Saturday, and it was a dream. It was such a dream. I tried to rob the man.
Oh, Stephen, your dreams.
Oh, my dreams.
Can I only imagine.
I think once I get a husband, I'm just going to stop the comedy. what will there be left to say once I've got that?
No, but as Stephen is doing, you need to, you know, for one day when you and your husband have children, you want them to hear these stories of you German blowjobs. I mean, surely these things need to
I can't wait for my gabies to hear that. They're going to love it.
Now, I tell you what, given that we're talking about the afternoon shows, our final guest has arrived, and he is also in the cocktail hour. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, will you welcome to the stage the brilliant Mr. Ivo Graham? Slightly later in the cocktail hour, actually, Ivo, because you're 6 p.m. And I came to see your show last night, and it was an absolute delight from start to finish. I loved it. I was sat in the front row, but I'm very unobtrusive, so I didn't make myself... Well, you had amazing audience interaction last night, which handled so brilliantly. There was a man who'd broken his leg.
Yes.
And it turned...
I think nicer men would have just let him off for that.
Were so charming.
Oh,
you did draw
Lucy.
Attention to his affliction, but you did it in such a nice way.
He got a free beer out of it.
He did.
Yes.
He did. I know this is going to sound like the mumsiest thing I've ever said, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. And when you drink a beer, I go, oh, look at him.
No, I know.
Oh, he's drinking a beer.
I wish my own parents had a similarly supportive attitude towards my drinking. They don't. Thank you very much for coming.
Yes, and then it was a good audience interaction as well, because it was all lovely, and then it did go slightly awkward. And then it went lovely again, which is always what I really like. Not that you were awkward. He was...
I was definitively not awkward.
You were definitively not.
Maintained.
Yes. But it was...
I had fun. Well, I think there's an... I don't know what you guys do. I don't know what the rule is, really, for sort of... I think some people come to a Fringe show wanting a rehearsed show, which has been tightened up over 20 previews in the Greater London area in June and July. But then I think you... And I did that for the first few nights, and partly it was feeling a bit sort of too rehearsed, and partly it was underrunning by a few minutes. So I had the funny idea of chucking some banter in. And I think it does... I think it just lets people know that you're in the room there, and you're not just, you know, doing the same old rubbish every day.
Yes.
I think that's a good thing.
I mean, I think we all mix it up, don't we? I mean, obviously you did with
so
your stags.
Distracted.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Stephen, you ploughing through without referencing the audience at all.
Ivo, I'm always looking for a husband or, you know, just someone for that night so I don't wake up alone with my kebab again.
And then Evelyn's having to do puppet shows and balloon modelling for the kids. And
lately, my audience interaction has been better than the material.
I get so distracted. Sometimes I don't get to finish the show. Like, the hour's up and I'm like, oh, time to
leave. I know, because you are tied to the hour slot, aren't you? There's no way you can overrun. So
I'd love a two-hour slot. I can't afford a two-hour slot at the Pleasance.
Like with an interval. I mean, you know, that would be the dream.
That would be divine. I would just go out.
The arrogance of that at the Fringe. I'm doing a two-hour show with it. What are you doing this year, Stephen?
I might do that next year, Ivo.
Well...
You book like the entirety of the Usher Hall or something. Or is the Usher Hall? Is that what I'm thinking? What's a big venue?
Usher Hall. The EICC. His ambition knows no bounds. Spent all his money on PR and ice cream for the interval.
I was thinking 3 hours at the O2 in September. I don't know.
I'm sure
this Fringe is going well enough to sell that out.
Do it. Book it in and get someone to record the DVD as well. That's
me, my mum and my dad. Maybe get Evelyn and Ivo along. A lovely time.
I'd be absolutely honoured to sit in.
I think the audience interaction is from every Fringe that I've ever done. It's, you know, you come back from Edinburgh and go back onto the comedy circuit and you are absolutely bulletproof in terms of audience interaction, having done it for, you know, solidly for 20 years.
I feel like I learned how to do that before I learned how to do a set. Like, I feel like I was just like, Marrr.
Yeah, well, sometimes it is, like you say, you sort of do the prepared material, then feels kind of like, oh, but I know that.
Trudge through this.
I had a review that said, my improv was brilliant, and then he goes back to the show. I'm not sure how I feel about that, guys.
I know,
you know how pull quotes work, though, Stephen.
brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you read review? I've never read reviews.
Oh yeah, I'm so OCD about it. Yeah. And then if it's a bad one, I don't take it. Like, I don't get upset. I just think they're an incompetent reviewer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know my show's good. Thank you.
good I thought your improv's good.
I've heard the show is a bit of a chore.
I was just about to say, Ivo Graham, that when I first met you, I was like, oh, my God, he's the nicest human I've ever met. I remember when I first met him, he was very nice, unlike some of the other people on this circuit. Mm-hmm. And
are you talking about me?
Yes, you were a nightmare.
Evelyn made a terrible first impression.
But I take it back, Ivo. Have a tablet.
Goodness, what? I get a tablet for being rude.
Yes,
that's worked out very well indeed.
Only because they don't look very nice.
Oh, tablet's the best. Have you never had tablet, Steve?
No.
Stephen T, have you had tablet?
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Tablet. I tell you what, let's unlike the haggis, we won't describe what's in it before we give it to you.
Oh, great. Thank you.
You can have a
second. Thank you, Stephen.
Don't do this.
Evelyn, back off. It's
like a strange soap.
It's like a strange soap.
Oh God!
It's
like a kind of a lard thing. What is it?
Basically, it's like.
Oh, now you're telling me.
It's a Scottish version of fudge. It's like fudge that you're not really meant to enjoy.
Oh, it's delicious.
You like it? There you go. You've got a convert to tablet.
It's like what you call what we used to call vanilla fudge, right? That rock and roll group from my era. So nice.
Vanilla fudge means something else in my world.
there he goes with that improv again.
There we are.
Stephen Bailey's filth improv.
I mean, look at my face.
I have always found in a lot of the situations I'm in, not here at the Fringe because I'm just telling stories, so everything is kind of off the cuff. But generally in my world, when you're improvising, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. I was on stage. I remember this is one of the worst. I was on stage doing mornings at 7, and we had done the show on Broadway, and now we were doing a big theater in Los Angeles. And no one does these shows anymore without microphones. The actors have microphones taped to their faces and their heads, right, because the places are too big. And they have technicians at the back of the theater who follow the script. And when someone comes on, they push the microphones up. And when someone comes off, they pull the microphones down. So I was on stage with Julie Haggerty, and we were doing a kind of introductory scene. And Frances Sternhagen, who was playing my mother, was about to come on. And she didn't. So, but the technician at the back of the theater is just looking at the script, and she comes on. So Julie and I are on stage improvising, not brilliantly like you guys. She was going, "Oh, Homer, what's that tree? It looks like an elm." And we're standing on stage waiting for Frances to come on, and with the microphone up, you hear the footsteps going back to her dressing room. You hear the knock on the door and go, "Franny, you're on." "Oh, shit, motherfucker!" And you hear these footsteps. "Oh, goddamn. Oh, God, fuck, goddamn. Oh, help me, please. Oh, God." And then she walks on stage. "Hello, Homer." The audience of like 2,500 are looking around like, "Where did that Tourette's syndrome come from?" For me, improvisation has this kind of double-edged sword. When I hear it, I break out.
Yeah, but when you're not expecting to improvise, that is a bad situation.
It's a bad situation.
I was in a play once with a comedian who, she'll not remain nameless, Stephen K. Amos, and we were doing this play, and we'd gone to the pub in the interval, which is not really allowed anyway. And he had forgotten to come back from the pub in the interval. Wow. And so we had to start. And I mean, you know, Stephen T, you will know, in the theatre, that is not, you're not really allowed to do that, are you?
No.
That's quite bad. And he came, you know, and he arrived. So Felix Dexter, who was an amazing comedian, luckily, he managed to sort of improvise. He was on his own when he was meant to be with Steve, and he managed to sort of get through it and set it up. But I've never seen a telling off like the one the company manager gave Stephen Caymus. And I know you've probably all seen him on stage full of swagger, being like, you know, very confident. And I just wish you could have seen the tiny child that he became when he was being told off. It was
awesome.
Did
you dob him in as having been in the pub then?
Oh yeah, of course we did. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know that loyalty between comics thing where you go, we could do the thing that would be nice and kind, or we could do the thing that would be funny.
It's amazing when you can take the upper hand by saying, I made it back in time from the pub for the second.
I'd only had two wines in the interval. I was fine, but it's nice. It's nice to improvise when you know it's going to happen, isn't it? That's the key. Where has everybody been? What have you seen? We should do our last 10-minute roundup. Obviously, Stephen, you've only just arrived.
I just arrived.
I'll let you off if you haven't seen anything. But the rest of you know you've been here for 2 weeks. Of course, you will have been out seeing loads of other people's shows.
Hoovering up
supporting.
I'm surprisingly supportive.
Oh, you are good.
What I do is like when someone rings and be like, I've got Chartle coming in, I'm like, that's the day I'll come. Like, I don't want to come just to enjoy myself. I want to come to be a good friend. And so, what's wrong with that? And so, do you know who was brilliant?
Go on.
Diane Spencer.
Oh, lovely.
So
it's
good.
It's an interesting story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I don't want to give too much.
Yeah.
So basically, well, there's two bits of it. It was like last year she was getting her shit together, I guess. And so she was buying a house, and that was traumatic. But the best bit is she did a show for a Z-list celebrity. I don't know whether just to say it or not. I don't know.
It's a fiery woman.
This
is going to be like through the keyhole now. I'm just going to give you clues to... fiery Italian lady. A fiery Italian lady.
And so she wrote this whole play for her, and the woman was a nightmare, so Diane exposes it all. And if you love anything camp, go and see this bloody show. You'll bloody love it. You won't regret it. And I also saw Amy Hawerska's show, and that was really good as well.
Oh, I love Amy Hawerska.
So nice. Great
Sass, I think it's called.
Sass Pot.
Very.
You are hitting that 75% of the title hit rate every time.
I didn't even bother with the Alzheimer. You notice
that's
I just went, I'm not
fine.
Even going to try.
It's the most boring title on the Fringe. That's absolutely fine.
It's no filter.
No filter.
Yeah, I got it. No, but it's good. It does mean stuff. Your show is full of meaning, Ivor.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is it an Instagram reference?
Well, it's Stephen laughs, but Evelyn's actually got a point.
Hashtag no filter.
I didn't want to put the hashtag in because then I would become the very thing that I hate. rather than just attaching myself to it.
I've been using AFAF, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, that's nice of you. Thank you. Well, that will mean even less to the listeners' show than it did to most of the audience yesterday.
It will spread like wildfire, I'm absolutely
what
sure.
What does it mean? Do we have to come to the show?
Well, I've actually got chortling in a couple of days, Stephen. So if you'd know what you're like, it means as fast as feasible, and it's the thinking man's ASAP.
That's amazing.
Some people say important things about society. This guy plays with language like a fluffy toy.
Like a young fogey.
Like a fluffy toy. Don't know where that came from. It's 1:28 p.m.
Evelyn, I've got the title of your show down pat as well, because I had to write it down, because I've written everyone's show title. I haven't referred to it, which is why I keep getting them wrong, but I did write them down. And so I had to put Evelyn Mock, Idiot. Idiot. It's a good title.
Thank you.
Yeah, it does. It does basically every job that you want a show title to do. It's kind of funny. It's a bit self-deprecating, and it's nice and short, unlike silly Stephen Bailey's title.
I always get it so wrong.
You do. You do. You'll learn.
You'll
learn for next time.
What's everyone's favourite title on the Fringe then?
I love Joe Lycett.
Joe Lycett is very good. Lou Sanders.
Oh, I love.
Excuse me, you're sitting on my penis again.
Do you know, many years ago was doing a show at the Fringe, and in a venue down the road there was a show called Whoops Vicar, Is That Your Dick? And they did it for years. It was one of those shows that kept returning. And the legendary story goes that Whoops Vicar, Is That Your Dick? They were performing to average audiences of 5 or 6 every night, not having a brilliant time. And then one evening, a coachload of Scousers turned up, an entire massive coachload of Scousers. And it was, as it happened, whoops, Vicar, is that your Dick's night off? So the only night that they would have had an audience, they were down the pub drowning their sorrows. And then the Scouse stag night coach party were told, I'm sorry, it's their night off. And then they just said, well, have you got anything else with Dick in the title? Sometimes that's how people choose their shows at the Fringe, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. It's, have you managed to see anything, Ivo? Or are you keeping your powder dry?
No, I've been to a few things. I went to the Summer Hall yesterday to watch Daniel Kitson's new show, Snooze. sorry, that's me being a boring
that's
comedy
you
fan
being
rather
a comedy
than Daniel
nerd,
Kitson.
But yes, but, I'm sure the show was brilliant, but
was,
I do slightly.
Masterful. Afterwards, I was with a friend who I'd watched the show with, and she said, I'm going to stick around at the Summer Hall because I'm going to a tour of Thermos Museum. And you know when you can't think of an excuse in time? but she said it's meant to be sort of very sort of funny and you know, very fringy, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we wandered around the Summer Hall sort of grounds for about 45 minutes looking at thermoses with this sort of quite grumpy caretaker and two other people. And it was a real, you know...
It is as it sounds, then. I thought this was some kind of elaborate art performance.
Well, I don't think, as with so many things on the Fringe, I don't think we really knew where the line was, really. because, you know, we were undeniably seeing a lot of different thermoses, so it was delivering on the sort of promise of the title. But there were, I think there were levels of irony going on as well, but were there enough? I'm not sure. There was a point in the end where he said, there is a 10-minute bonus section of the tour where there are some even more exciting continental thermoses. And we all went, I think we've got to get to lunch now, unfortunately. So it was domestic thermi only. But that was good. Mae Martin's show is, I think, been my favourite one I've seen so
is
far.
It, yes.
It's just lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great show.
She would, because she is a very gifted storyteller. I mean, is it more a storytelling-y sort
well,
of show?
Well, I would go against that and say no, because I'm very passionate. I mean, not patronisingly, but she is a great storyteller. She's so likeable. So you're always inclined to say, like, oh, she's just such lovely company. But it's so funny. Mm-hmm. It's so so many great jokes, and it's so interesting. I think it's important as well. He says sort of very patronisingly as the straight white male, she's saying some very things about sexuality, which I as a sort of privileged man who doesn't give these things much thought, needed to hear. But it's really
nice to see a man like you supporting lesbianism in this way, though, rather
for one night, I think. and then you can, you know, go back to the lads for the rest of the month. But it's that Fringe, I think it's that really good Fringe combo of 45 minutes of very, very, very funny stand-up and 5 minutes of, yes, please, that's interesting.
Good, good, good. Yes. Evelyn, have you good. Seen anything that you...
I've seen Spencer Jones is incredible.
Oh, character show?
Yeah, he's...
Or is it props, or is it what?
It's all of that, really. It's everything that you think that you... It's sort of... Because it's props, and it's a character, but it's also a bit of clowning into it. Mm-hmm. But it's everything you think that you'd left behind in the 80s, I think. But he just brings it back, and he does it so well.
It's time for a variety revival
yeah, exactly.
on the Edinburgh stage. Yeah, because he has had an incredible Edinburgh career, because he's done so many different things. Mm. And everybody is saying that is a wonderful, amazing show.
It's so... He takes... The thing is, he can do the smallest... He takes the smallest things. He has a bit with where he just put in... He puts in eyes... that he's drawn on cut off pingis balls. So he draw and then he makes different things with that, and it's very, very funny. I'm giving away one of his best things, but it's
but is it a continental thermos, Evelyn?
Oh no.
I think you have inadvertently done the thermos tour a great service
a big
there.
Thing.
Oh really? Well please do go along
go,
and double
that
audience.
Really be that boring. Can it really be that boring? And then they will go along and find out for themselves that yes, it is.
But you just don't know really, because you're so it's you know, like a museum, you sort of you're so intensely wanting to be interested about it, you don't really know where the line is between whether you are enjoying it or whether you're just thinking, look at me doing this.
That's the kind of thing I'd do. Now, we are going to... This is my last day, right, guys? So I'm going to just tell everyone what's happening tomorrow. It won't be as good as this. Tomorrow's show is... Oh, actually, I say that. Look at who's on. It's Lou Sanders presenting. Hello, amazing. And the guests will be Mae Martin, Nathan Caton, Tom Allen and Steve Hall.
Yes, that is,
that is great.
I'm gasping. That is just an extraordinarily good amount of...
But this has also been good. Please.
Well, I was really enjoying it, and now I'm starting to think, but tomorrow is going to be better. I'm getting that...
Do you feel like you got the dud day?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're nice in that, but...
I don't even think we're that nice.
Oh, you've been amazing.
You
shut
brought
up.
Tablets.
I'd have loved to have been interviewed by Lou Sanders. There you go.
Suck it up, bitch. Right, so let's leave with you wonderful people. I'm going to tell everyone where and when they can see you, and they absolutely should. And the problem is you're all on at the same time. Mm. So basically this
is... So choose.
Choose one of these babies. You must choose. Mike Wasner, it's gone, but I'll still say. He's on at 1:15. I've forgotten where. Stephen Bailey, you're on at 4:15. At the
Pleasance Courtyard.
Evelyn, you're on at 5 o'clock at the Counting House.
Counting House, yes.
And Stephen Toblowski, you are on at 5:20 at the gorgeous Pleasance Cabaret Bar.
Absolutely.
Nahal, enjoy that. And Ivor Graham.
On at 6 p.m. Courtyard.
In an equally lovely, it's a lovely venue.
It's a very, very, it's one of those very, very hot venues.
It is hot.
What room are you in?
The Poseidon. It's not the worst, but it's up there.
And that's going to be the last line of the show. Oh, it's not actually, but we've got 30 seconds, so tell us a bit more about your sweat.
Can I reference the lovely piece of paper that you were given before I came on? FUBAR Radio, only to sort of tentatively blowing its own trumpet, saying, shall we bring on Ivo now? P.S., this is sounding awesome.
Let's bring Ivo just to ruin that. So there we go. It's been an absolute pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, can we have a huge round of applause for all of our guests?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Enjoy your fringes and we will see you tomorrow.
Bye. Lucy Porter, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Love. Hugh Joseph and Doc Brown. And
is it really getting light? Because I even wonder if grime even exists.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What do you mean,
whoa?
Like, it's just anyone who's English rapping just gets called grime.
Well, you
it's
know
like,
what?
Where is... Who is grime? What is grime?
Who is grime?
Who is
you sound like my nan.
Who is grime? Who is grime?
Stephen Grime.
Can you put grime? Who is this man?
Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. Only on FUBAR Radio.
That's a magic number.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.